Hello, welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. How are you doing? Another episode, another jam-packed episode. I'm going to be speaking to Alexandra Wood, MD slash founder of Alexandra Wood Bespoke Tailoring. Alexandra's had a long, illustrious career. She started in Savile Row as one of the first female-owned tailoring businesses. She then went on to reopen the longest-standing tailors that's over 400 years old in the UK with a new modernised version of men's tailoring. I can't wait to get into this interview. But before we do, make sure you're checking out menswearstyle.co.uk. That's where we put up all the articles, new daily content, free content, and plus all the show notes to this episode and the links that you'll find. If you want to get in touch with the show, maybe you want to be a guest, tell us about your brand and your journey, then it's info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay, let's get into that interview. Here's Alexandra Wood, MD and founder of Alexandra Wood Bespoke Tailoring. Alexandra, how best can I introduce you?
So, I mean, this is a conflicting answer because, you know, it's not like the Guinness Book of Records where you stake a claim on an official title, but classed as one of the first female tailors on Savile Row.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say more one of the first female business owners on Savile Row. You know, I have learned how to cut. I've done it traditionally and done imperial tailoring, but overall I class myself as more of a designer. It's an all-around approach, really. Tailor, stylist, and designer. So it's a multivariate title, really.
Forgive me, I don't actually know too much about the origins, and I'm sure you've told this a few times before, but where did you actually start on Savile Row?
So I didn't do a, you know, apprenticeship on Savile Row. I worked for a few other tailors in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then I set up my business when I was 26 on maternity leave. And I started originally actually going to see clients in their offices and their homes. So I was classed as a visiting tailor. And then I started seeing people from our Savile Row showroom. So that was probably in about 2007, 2008.
So this was your own shop on Savile Row?
No, so it's a shared space. So I just see clients there.
Okay.
And then I have my store in Bishop Stortford.
Right, I see. And where did you learn how to cut?
I went to the London College of Fashion.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoy learning everything about what I'm doing. So I actually started Camberwell College and I did textiles, and I used to do fashion drawing, etc. Apart from I was told that my fashion sketches were terrible. And I thought, I'm never going to make it in fashion. This is a disaster, you know, because there's so much pressure on. I was probably always classed as the, I think I was just quiet about it, you know. In our class in fashion, they were quite sort of out there, whereas I was always a little bit more quiet. And then I went to London College of Fashion, did professional pattern cutting, studied dart manipulation, and that's where I learned sort of the core basics. And it's interesting because I, you know, with Ralph Lauren, he always says that he kind of puts things together and has an eye for it, what colours will go together. And that's kind of how I see what I do, rather than any specific one thing.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I've always been quite fascinated with the relationship between cutters and designers. I was speaking to Henry Rose a week or so ago, and he is primarily a cutter. And he even said, look, yeah, I don't really have an eye for design. You know, those sort of people in the past, maybe like the Tommy Nutters of the world, would have the eye for the design but couldn't cut. And similarly, Edward Sexton would be a fantastic cutter, but, you know, he didn't have the kind of flair and flamboyance in the eye that a Tommy Nutter would. So would you say that you have both elements of design, and you also have the kind of the skills and the craft to execute those designs?
Yes. However, I don't cut anything anymore. I did in the beginning. I don't think anyone would have their suits very quickly if I continued to cut and design and sort of grow the business. That's quite a tough challenge. So now definitely more design. That's where my passion is. It's more, and it's more than design as well. It's seeing a customer, they walk in and I've already seen the completed outfit. And then I have to go backwards and work with them and get them to, you know, because they're a little bit fearful, thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm going to end up looking like. And will this person understand me? But it's a strange feeling that it's quite hard to explain when you see someone and you can see how great they can look. And then I get excited, but I have to sort of, yeah, backtrack and explain the process and be nurturing and understanding of their fears and kind of explain what I'm going to do before getting completely overexcited.
Yeah. I found when I was working in a tailor's, I was just an assistant, but I did find that when I was doing consultations, I would let them, you know, kind of give me an idea of what they had in their mind and their vision of how a suit could look. And sometimes they would be fantastic. You know, sometimes they'd be right to my kind of weird taste. Like a gentleman came in and wanted all corduroy, like thick whale suit and trousers. And I could hear the women, the other assistants in the background, I could hear them groaning because it wasn't really their thing. But for me, it was right up my street. And then other times, you know, people would come in, I'd be like, crikey, mate, that's gonna look awful. But I can't really, I can't gild the lily towards what I think is good or what I like. I have to have an appreciation of what people want and, you know, what makes them happy. So do you ever find that with some of your clients that might come in that you have to make things that just really won't sit well with you?
I just won't make it. And, you know, that might sound terrible, but actually I think I've the reason why customers come to me is because they're like, look, I don't have a clue. I don't have time to think about it. You know, they're not the kind of guys who have the time to create a Pinterest board or, you know, some of them have a natural style. But I think, you know, it's kind of like a case of like attracts like, you know, they come to me because they know that I will, you know, enhance and elevate their style, and that's the whole purpose. It's very rare someone would say, oh, I'd like this. But I've had a customer come in and say, oh, I'd like a 1920s pair of trousers, and I say, actually, this other tailor is more for you because you'll be disappointed. I'm more sort of timeless, modern, you know, splashes of colour, but nothing wacky. I definitely have a certain, you know, clientele. So I like to create for them, you know, that for me is the point. And I think, you know, customers get that, and that's what's exciting for them about it.
Yeah. And so just going back to when you were learning to actually cut, were you learning to be a pattern maker for men primarily, and then you learned how to do women later, or did you learn at the same time?
I actually began in women's wear. So, I didn't know men's wear at all. So I would sketch on the spot women's wear designs. So I was tailoring manager at Shanghai Tang when I was 21. Mm-hmm. And women would come in, you know, royalty, celebrities. Sometimes I'd just have a piece of cloth that was put in front of me and say, can you make something elaborate for, not to be named? And I would just have to create something. So it was only women's wear then, but then the husband started coming in saying, oh, I wonder if you could make me something. And I thought, oh, I don't know.
Like, good question.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. And I remember this guy was turning 50, and his wife had had loads of outfits made for this special event. And he wanted me to create something. He was like, Elle Macpherson jumping out of this gift box and blah, blah. I was like, blimey, I want to come to this party. So we made him this sort of Mandarin style outfit, and that's where it began. You know, it's the simplicity of menswear that I quite liked, and I was like, I think I prefer this actually. And that's how I started going more into menswear, and that is just completely my passion. Some people go, oh, you're going to go into womenswear again, please do some womenswear, but it's not where my love lies.
Right. And so I've heard that women's wear is actually harder to do because there's more measurements, there's more contours typically than what a man has. So did you find it more of a lateral move to get into men's wear and to start cutting for men?
Yeah, I think it's far simpler. There are less elements to consider, you know. Yeah, you have all the curves. Men have different kind of curves.
Yeah.
Mainly the paunches they want to hide, but that's easier. So, yeah.
And so you've opened up your first store in Bishop Stortford. That was 2016?
Yeah, so that's gone fast already. 4 years next month.
Wow, amazing. And so is that where you are based now? Are you living in Bishop Stortford? Is this your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought, do you know what, I'd really, I'd run the business for a few years, had children, so it was really more of a hobby, a very nice hobby to have. And the last, so in 2016, I thought, I think I want to open a shop and, you know, really take this a bit further, think about my branding, marketing a bit more. Before it was, you know, I didn't give it much thought. Just enjoyed seeing my customers, and that was that. It's a strange kind of switch when you think, I'm going to make this into a business. Sometimes that's quite hard to change from a hobby to a full-blown, yeah, I think I'll build this up to eventually sell it. And so I'm in a building which is 400 years old, and it's the oldest tailor's in Britain.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah.
That's so amazing.
It was actually an undertaker's and tailor's in the first place, which is a little bit creepy, but I'm not spooked. and so it was, sorry, there's some background noise going on there.
That's
okay. Home to, well, they tailored for Henry Moore, for Sandringham, you know, so lots of top-notch people.
Mm.
And it's changed hands sort of since then. And then it closed its door 3 years prior to me opening it. And everyone's like, that's such a shame, you know, such history. And I actually didn't know much of the history. I just thought, that's a nice building, that's where I'll start. And then I'm like, oh, and people said, did you know all the history? I thought, wow, this is really cool.
That is really cool. That is amazing.
Yeah. And it was interesting. Some people like, it will never work, it hasn't worked before, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I just thought, you know, I was a bit scared because I put all my own personal money into it. And I thought, what if no one comes? This is nuts.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask how much of it was a gamble versus, you know, could you have carried on and not opened up a shop and just seen clients independently through like workshops in Savile Row, etc.?
Yeah, I could have done. I think because my view was to go into ready to wear, which I've now done, that I needed a home to kind of testing ground as well to see, you know, gosh, if people come in here, this is like my market research. I get to see people come in, try things, do my products fit my kind of customer? And that took a lot of testing and cost a lot of money to sample products. And sometimes, you know, sleeves came out crazy long, or and then it's like dragged back to the drawing board, kind of understanding what styles people liked. It was more to see if my ready-to-wear designs would take off. And that's where I'm kind of pushing the business as well, going to e-commerce. So.
Right. Okay. And was that a thing in 2016? Like, was that at the forefront of your mind to set up the e-commerce and the bricks and mortar at the same time?
Well, no, because I kind of opened up shop and I thought, God, this is quite a big shop. It's, you know, 1,000 square feet. And we had a launch party, and then we opened up and people would come in saying, I just wanted to get a really nice white shirt or some navy chinos. I was like, oh, well, I haven't really got anything because I'm a tailor.
You got any super dry?
Got any Gants? And I'm like, oh, no. So I thought, well, I don't want to stock other products. That's not the point of my business. Mm. You know, because actually the prior tailor did do made to measure and did do Gants and other labels. So it's quite hard to kind of change people's minds and say, no, this is a new wave and this is what we're doing. So, you know, you're kind of reinventing something.
Right.
So I thought I better start making some things that people can buy. And that's where it started. And I thought, actually, yeah, you know, I love designing. So creating ready to wear that people can just come in and buy. So that's really gone well, and now I know that everything fits well. We're pushing that further and introducing new products. So
Fascinating. And but you're still doing bespoke?
Yes, bespoke and made to measure. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And how much of your time is divided now, like between bespoke and made to measure?
I'd say 60-40, ready to wear 40%. Yeah.
Okay. And is so you kind of now overlooking the business? You're saying you're not cutting anymore, so people are doing that for you.
Yeah.
How do you kind of operate day to day within the business now?
Yeah. So naturally a multitasker. People do question how I've got so much energy, but I pretty much do everything. But I just love it because I'd be like, oh God, I'd be so bored if I didn't do it. So, you know, I do our marketing, I do our design, you know, imagine every element of a business. That's what I do, really. I look after the clients, but I have someone that looks after them as well. So the customers are obviously the most important part of the business, so they have to be looked after. So me having someone looking after their sort of customer journey is really important,
right.
Keeping people informed of their order throughout the process, and you know, looking after them and thereafter as well. So we'll have some people that say, oh, I just need something for my friend's wedding or going to Ascot, and they can, you know, feel confident that we'll then send them some samples that would be appropriate.
I've been seeing a lot of the Ascot at home photos that people are posting. I think that's quite sweet. Because Ascot is a huge deal for a lot of people. I mean, it might be the one event where they can really go top to tails and, you know, soup to nuts with their dress, and it's something that they always look forward to every year.
With all of these things, I mean, I don't know if Goodwood Revival might be okay, it's September, you know, but so many events, Wimbledon, which is a personal love of mine, I go every year. I'm like, oh man, you don't realise how much you enjoy these things.
Yeah, you kind of take them for granted. I think Goodwood Revival is still on, or at least they're doing a secret cinema down there, so people can drive down and watch movies in their cars.
Oh, cool.
From what I've heard. So I'm hoping that will still go ahead.
Yeah,
we're good. So you mentioned earlier that you have like an eye for the timeless and perhaps more classic. Is that what you would describe your house signature as?
Yeah, I do think my style of clothing has a slight feminine touch because I'm a lady. That's not to say, you know, it's all pink and pretty. It's in the secrets to the way it's cut that flatter a man's shape.
And what are those secrets? Please tell.
Well, I would have to kill you.
You know that I've been watching Bond films.
Oh, yeah. I heard your impersonation earlier of Michael Caine. I thought, that's genius.
Oh, no. No, that's terrible.
I do really dodgy impersonations as well, including Villeneuve. But it's a theme design we've developed. And so men do say, wow, how do you make me look slimmer? Blimey, you are a magician. I don't like short jackets or short trousers. That to me is not timeless. It's not flattering. Anyway, you can show off, you know, shape on your waistline is a good start. There are many elements to a suit which I think are very important. But so I tend to do timeless designs, so nice classic fabrics, but with a little quirk. You know, I like splashes of color. Men, I try to encourage to wear more color, and that doesn't mean bright vibrant reds and yellows. It's a subtlety. So instead of a bright orange, I would say a burnt orange, salmon or sage green, you know. And I work with the customer's skin tone, lifestyle, etc. So I ask them specific questions about them, because there's no point me saying, all right, you're a lawyer, let's make you a nice navy suit. Oh, you're this person, let's make this. You know, it's like, where do you actually go? Who do you spend time with? Or how do you want to be perceived? And I take all those things into consideration and then give them ideas. And, you know, also from a view of comfort as well.
I'm curious to know if there's things that people are currently asking for. I hate to kind of ask you what's in fashion, what's the trends right now, but there do seem to be waves. And I'll going back to James Bond, I'll give you an example. After I think 2012 Skyfall was released, a lot of people were asking for midnight blue dinner suits, you know, yeah. Daniel Craig on the posters, as opposed to the traditional black tuxedo. They would go, well, now we're going to have some midnight blue. And there was a huge kind of upsurge in that trend. Is there anything that you can think of that was a real pivot and men have started asking for more?
Yeah, well, Cord, as you mentioned earlier, it seemed to have a little wave, you know. But I always say, don't follow the trends, you know, be aware of the trends, but don't follow them. So, you know, it's all very well opening up GQ magazine saying, wow, that guy looks really cool in a stripy t-shirt and wacky sports jacket. Would it look good on you is the question. So I tend to be sort of aware and looking at the trends. I mean, again, if I looked at the men's trends this year and it's satin shirts and wear your boxers as your shorts, my kind of customer would be like, are you off your rocker? So
that's crazy.
I just work with what I see, and I'm just aware of moving trends. I say, oh, that's nice, you know. But actually looking back at older style, you know, John Newman and James Dean, I love that, and that is timeless. They're the iconic staples to look at. So you'll have a Cord and people say, oh, you know, but I don't want to look like a history teacher. So then you could modernize it. And then I think, well, okay, let's look at different colors and different approaches to it and go from there, really.
God, I love Cord. I tell you who else loves Cord, our mutual friend David Evans.
Yes, he was who I was thinking of when I was saying this, actually, because I made him a Cord suit.
I just messaged David before I got on the phone to you, and I said, oh, do you want me to patch you in, or have you got any questions for Alexandra? But he's obviously busy. But no, he wears your stuff so well, and obviously you really do. You put him in some great stuff. I'm just looking at some pictures of him now, like a two button blazer that's kind of, I don't know what color you'd call that, like a pink but kind of off pink with a blue shirt underneath.
That's exactly that's the burnt orange. So David and I actually designed a spring, like a very mini spring collection together 2 years ago, and showcased it at the Stafford Hotel in St James. So that was lovely.
That's right.
And yeah, I've made David a Cord suit, and what I like about, I call him Foxy, actually.
Oh, I love that. I've got to nick that.
Yeah, what I love about Foxy, he's like, you can call me what you like. what I like about him is that I made that suit and we worked together. He says, do you know, I love this suit, but I think I wish I'd gone for something a bit lighter. So I think that would be our other project. I'm like, oh, well, it's got to be right. Let's just do it again. Like, I don't feel wounded if someone's like, oh, it's not quite right. Sometimes it's not quite right. You start again, you recreate things, and that's the point.
Well, he looks terrific. Congratulations. That looks fantastic. I'm going to put all these up on the show notes so people can see what we're talking about. Or alternatively, they can just go to your Instagram, Alexandra Wood Tailoring. Have you got any other plans for any other collaborations? Do you even look for those, or do they just happen organically?
Yeah, I tend to be like, oh, do you know what? I fancy that. Let's have a conversation, nice and natural. Naturally, I have business goals and, you know, things I want to do. But I think I'm still early days with my own ready-to-wear. Yeah, so I'd love to do some collaborations, whether that be with shoes, other designers. But I still feel like I'm still early days with my own ready-to-wear collection. So we're starting to introduce limited edition collections. So, for example, in this autumn, I'm designing a collection of raincoats, which are made from Ventil, which is what Spitfire pilots used to wear. So it's really hardy, amazing colours. So those real kind of iconic classics with a twist.
Nice.
Cooler shirts, and because I suddenly thought, do you know what, people aren't going to be racing back into suits. I need to sort of switch about what I'm going to design. So I thought, well, they'll always be walking in the rain with the dog, and you want to look good doing that, right?
Yeah, and if you can make something for my dog as well. What about the dogs? They're going to need some suits, right?
Yeah, a friend of mine actually has a business called Tailor Made, and he designs for dogs.
Oh, nice. Well, that's got to be a booming... Please don't tell my girlfriend that, Quirky. She'll be snapping them up.
Oh, that would be a good collaboration, wouldn't it? and so knitwear, I'm a lover of knitwear. And I do think there's not much in the way of something a bit different color-wise, texture-wise for knitwear. Mm-hmm. So introducing those kind of just a bit more casual pieces in terms of ready-to-wear, because people already come to me to have tailored suits made to measure. So with the ready-to-wear, it would be a lot more sort of casual. Open to collaborations all the time. And I actually think, you know, with this virus, that people are going to have to come together and, you know, align. If you've got similar, you know, clientele, why wouldn't you come together to try and boost each other? That could be a really nice thing, a way of supporting each other through this and getting a bit more.
Do you have like an area that you look into for designs in terms of like where you can get inspired or you can find inspiration for particular designs? Because I always think with suits and suiting in particular, there's only a certain amount of movement that you can have in terms of how you can actually design a suit. Unlike with dresses, for example, you can kind of do really whatever you want with dresses. It's you know, like the playing field is just so expanse. But with suits, you kind of have a cut and you have a certain look. So how do you kind of play with that, and how do you keep yourself interested with different designs for suits?
Yeah, I just love fabric. So you know, naturally, we get sent new fabric ranges every season, and I will literally see a swatch that's, you know, 2 inches wide and be like, oh my god, that'd be amazing suit, that'd be so cool, put that button with it, you know. So it really is to do with the fabric and the cut. And I do like the peak lapel at the moment, but I don't like anything too crazy wide or anything like that. And I always say there's one thing to go, that's amazing, I love that, I'd like to see it made, and then another to think, who's going to wear this? Is my customer going to like this, or are they going to think this is just way out there?
Because that's interesting. There's something that you would like, and then there's also a commercial hat that you need to wear, I suppose, at the same time, thinking, well, will this actually be a good run? Will people buy into this, or is this just me me loving it and me just wanting to wear it for myself?
Yeah, and it does take a little bit of encouraging, because like that burnt orange sports jacket Grey Fox and I created, I had a couple of customers, that was a limited edition collection, so you had to, you know, come and try it on and pre-order it, and so that was £800. So people are like, oh, do you think, you know, it's a bit different for me and spend £800 on something I might not wear? And I said, look, come in and try it on, and I'll give you my honest advice if it's going to work for you. And people know that I'll say this, choose a different colour because it doesn't work for you. You have to be honest, otherwise people don't trust you in the long run. But I have to say that the few people that bought that piece, they were like, I love it, I get so many compliments, you know, so such a different piece, I'm really glad I went for it. And I always say, you know, try and be a little bit brave sometimes. And when those first couple of compliments come in, that's when, you know, most men are sold, to be honest.
I think it's also down to the fit and the colours that you've put with this. And I really do encourage people to look at it, because it's fantastic. So you have like this dark navy blue shirt coming through with the white buttons and the, I guess, cream trousers as well. It's just, it's not like your typical colour palette. You probably have like the darker jacket out and with a lighter shirt underneath. Yeah. But this is kind of the inverse, or the subverse, whatever the word is, of that, and it just looks really good. I encourage people to try it out. Well, listen, Alexandra, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And happy belated birthday. I know you're 40th over the weekend, so
20 again. Thank you.
That's what I meant. Damn it! I'll have to edit that in post.
No.
But best of luck, and and everyone can just. The shop's open now, so over in Bishop's Stortford, but also Also the website, alexandrawoodbespoke.co.uk. All the show notes and links were put over on Menswear Style, so people can check that out there.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Alexandra. Take care of yourself.
And you. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. Alexandra Wood there. Wow. What a treat that was to speak to her. The website, alexandrawoodbespoke.co.uk. Why don't you treat yourself to some really decent clothes and, you know, get that wardrobe sorted out once and for all? Our website, menswearstyle.co.uk, that's the place to go. Also, we'll put all the show notes for this episode, as well as other daily content that you'll get for free. And if you're liking what you hear, why don't you leave us a review on iTunes? I get to read them all, and we thank you for that. In the meantime, remember, it's only fashion, people, and you're never fully dressed without a smile.